We invite you to turn tonight to 1 John chapter 4, the first epistle of John, the fourth chapter. I believe these first six verses of 1 John chapter 4 are very important, especially in the day in which we live. The United States Secret Service detects many bogus dollar bills in the course of a year. They destroy millions of them. In fact, the government even issued a book called Know Your Money to acquaint us with counterfeit money so that we're not deceived. Now, if it's important that we're not deceived about counterfeit money, it's much more important that we not be deceived when it comes to false doctrine. There's a lot of false doctrine that abounds in the world today. There are plenty of spiritual phonies around. And it's with tenderness and intensity that the Apostle John writes here in the midst of verses that deal with the subject of love. In the closing verses of chapter 3, he's dealing with the subject of love. In verse 16 of 1 John, he says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God for us, that he laid down his life for us. Therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And following here in the first epistle, in the fourth chapter of this first epistle, he again deals with the great subject of love. But now tonight, and when we read the first six verses of 1 John 4, he's warning us against spiritual counterfeits, spiritual phonies, and false doctrine. Verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you have redeemed us, that you have made us your own, that we're able to say with a hymn writer, "Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus till glory doth shine, moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine." And to vouchsafe this glorious truth that we are thine and you are ours, you've given the Holy Spirit to indwell us. And he is the seal and the earnest of our inheritance until that day when we meet thee face to face, and we see thee as thou art, and we are like him, thy beloved Son. Tonight we ask you for help, that we may speak truth, and that we may speak truth firmly, lovingly, and in a way that it can be taken in, and will cause us to think, and enable us to live godly lives in a wicked world. To this end, we just ask for our special help in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our present age, experience is exalted above the Word of God. And that's very dangerous because everybody has an experience. I remember hearing Oliver Green, number of years ago, that evangelist from South Carolina. He was in a tent meeting in Lancaster County. And I went over. And he was speaking on Acts chapter 16, on Lydia and her experience, and on the Philippian jailer and his experience, how both of these were brought to faith in Christ, each in a different way. And he says, if you've come here for an experience tonight, he says, just come and see me. I have a baseball bat here, and I can hit you over the head, and you can go out and show people your experience. But anyway, he was quite an evangelist. He won many to the Lord. However, experience is exalted above the Word of God. We don't judge the Word of God by somebody's experience. We judge experience by the Word of God. The Christian public today is enamored by claims of miracles, healings, signs, and the child of God must be discerning. Therefore, John wrote what we have read together tonight as a text. And we must remember what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, reminding them of what Moses confronted in Egypt. That while Moses was showing signs and wonders in Egypt, Jannes and Jambres, disciples of the devil, were counterfeiting the very signs that Moses was performing before Pharaoh to deceive the heart of Pharaoh. And Paul, writing to Timothy, said, even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these reprobates do the same thing. And we must keep that before us. Satan is in the business of duplicating and counterfeiting, and he's in the business of deception in order that he may mislead many and nullify their witness for Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul has something very definite to say, and I'd like you to turn with me for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we shall read beginning at verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 13. And he says, concerning these, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is of no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Tragically, today, the Christian public is gullible. A word of caution is very necessary. You must be prepared. If you are going to confront false doctrine and deceitful workers and the leaven of false doctrine in the day in which you live. Now, how do we do it? We must judge the teaching of men who would pervert the Word of God. John tells us in 1 John, in this portion that we read together tonight, that we must test the spirits. There are three things that we have to do, and I want to look with you at three things tonight. First of all, we must judge the teaching of men who would pervert the Word of God. If you and I are to test the spirits, we must hold fast to the truth of the Word of God. Paul advised the believers at Thessalonica, in the midst of a lot of spiritual exhortations, in chapter 5, verse 21, he says this, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Also when writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, he said, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. In other words, the form of sound words, the form of sound teaching, sound biblical doctrine. Now, a true believer cannot afford to be careless with the Holy Scriptures. It is necessary to give ourselves to a search and to a study of the Word of God. We must study the book. Now, it's not enough, friends, to grab a verse of Scripture as you're running out the door to work in the morning. It isn't enough to grab a verse of Scripture and read it before you climb under the covers at night. The Scriptures are a book to be read, to be searched, to be studied, to be meditated upon. It is only then that we'll be able to test what is spoken from men who presume to speak the Word of God. Now, the Berean Christians that you read about in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, it says of them that they were more noble of them than they of Thessalonica, for they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether the things that Paul taught were so. In other words, they searched the Old Testament Scriptures. Now, we must be determined by God's grace not to be illiterate Christians. And the only way you cannot be an illiterate Christian is you must know what the Word of God has to say. But then there's a second thing we have to do. False doctrine must be avoided, and it must be hated. We must hate false doctrine. Now, most Christians don't think it's important what they listen to. A lot of Christians today don't think it's important what they listen to and what they hear. And they have forgotten the warning of our Lord Jesus found in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. He says, take heed what you hear. And we must take heed what we listen to as a people of God, lest we be led astray. Now, the Apostle Paul stressed this point very pointedly. He says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, there's a verse that every Christian should have memorized. Galatians 1 and verse 8. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach unto you any other doctrine or teaching than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let the curse of God rest upon him. Let him be anathema. And Paul includes himself. He said, if I ever slip and teach anything different than I taught you when I came here with the gospel, I tell you, that is strong teaching. Take heed what you hear. Boy, aren't they strong words? Well-meaning Christians have often said, I know the preacher doesn't preach the gospel where we go, but you know, my grandmother went there, and my mother went there, and there's so many of the family going there. I just can't leave. Well, they'll learn about how important it was to take heed what they hear at the judgment seat of Christ. The Word of God says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And by the way, God has not removed himself from the judgment seat and put me on it, or any other Christian that I know. He's on the judgment seat. But we do preach the word. Take heed what you hear. Now, the Apostle Paul said that if any forsakes the wholesome words of Scripture and speaks contrary to sound doctrine, he is proud, he is foolish, he's not to be heard. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This gives us an idea of how important this is. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we shall begin our reading at verse 3, where it says, if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. If what these men teach, beloved, does not lead to a godly life, that's what he's speaking. That's what Paul is warning against. And we are living in a day when we have the idea that we can live any way we want. This is propounded by many. And it says here, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. And Peter, when he writes in his second epistle, he speaks of men who make merchandise of you. But what I want you to notice is in verse 4, it uses that word doting. That word doting in verse 4, it means diseased, leading to destruction. Disease leading to destruction. And then in verse 5, he says, from such withdraw thyself. No wonder the Apostle John warned the elect lady in 2 John, verse 7. Notice what he says. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that ye lose not those things which ye have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. If the, verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speed. For he that biddeth him God speed is partaker of his evil deeds. False doctrine must be avoided. False doctrine must be hated. But there's a third thing about testing the spirits that I think is very important. And I think it is borne out in the text in 1 John chapter 4. And it is this. We must understand that Satan's attack is against the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a person believes about the person of Christ is most important if you and I are to listen to their preaching or their teaching. When I hear someone speak, I listen for that which pertains to the person of God's dear Son. Does he affirm what the Word of God affirms concerning the person of Christ? That's most important. I don't care how many he claimed to heal. I don't care how many miracles he is supposed to have performed. I'm not interested in the signs. What do they say concerning the person of Jesus Christ? That is borne out in our text. In verse 3, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is a spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. When you read church history, and when you study the various heresies that have afflicted the church down through the years, whether it's Apollinarianism, or Docetism, or Arianism, and there are more, they all have to do with the person of Christ. And down through the years, the object of Satan has been deception to nullify the witness of the people of God. In other words, every doctrine, every teaching, every system of religion must be regulated by this criteria. It is the criteria of the Lord himself to his disciples. At Caesarea Philippi, outlined in Matthew chapter 16, when he said to his disciples, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who is Jesus Christ? That's the question. And our answer must be that of Simon Peter. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Simon Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter's answer, beloved, must be our answer also. And anyone who denies this must be judged accordingly. And to do that properly. Who is Jesus Christ to do that properly? You have to read and you have to search the Word of God. It's only then that we can determine who's of God and who isn't of God. It's a good thing to remember. The Holy Spirit never speaks contrary to the revealed Word of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't say one thing here and something else at a different place. Let me give you an illustration. We had an evangelist in Lebanon. He did a good job preaching the gospel. But he thought he had to answer every question that anybody asked. And always on a Sunday night, we had a group of young people in our home. There's a dentist in that group. There's a doctor in that group. And there were quite a few others. And we loved the Word of God. We talked and about the scriptures every Sunday night after the meeting. And this evangelist was there, and the doctrine of election came up. I don't know how that came up, but anyway it did. And the first thing he said was this. He said, for every scripture you can quote for that, I can quote you 10 against it. Ooh, I almost went underneath the table. Before he knew it, he had about 10 scriptures or more quoted to him. I turned to him and called him by his name. I said, you have a long way to go. You have over 100 to quote if you're going to quote 10 against. Well, he didn't get one out. Now, the thing is this. We must know the Word of God and we must test what the teaching is by Holy Scripture. When everybody was gone, I turned to him and said, you know, you did a good job tonight preaching the gospel. But when you said, for every one that you can quote for it, I can quote one against, you made serious error. Serious error. Number one, the Holy Spirit never says one thing here and something else over here. There's a harmony to the Word of God. I said, that never happens. I said, you don't have to get involved in something that you think you know more than somebody else. It would be wise if you listened. I don't know if a man ever learned a lesson. But what do we know? The Holy Spirit never speaks contrary to the Word of God. And when a believer obeys the warning in 1 John, there's a warning that we need to obey. And he tests what he hears. Not by what somebody says about it, but what does it really say? The Word of God. When he tests what he hears. We have the promise of 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. Did you get that promise when we read it? What does it say? The end of verse 6. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And you and I should be in a position spiritually, mentally, by the Word of God, that we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And not to be afraid to disagree with somebody, no matter who it is. To know the Word of God. Now, why should we be? Because a believer is indwelt by the Spirit of truth. And I'm going to recognize and confess, as a believer in Christ, the person and work of our Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will never go contrary. Will never say anything contrary to that which is already revealed. You and I have a book that needs to be studied. Now let's apply this truth. Application number one. That's a simple question. Am I acquainted with the words of Holy Scripture? Are you acquainted with the words of Holy Scripture? Let me ask you another question. When a problem arises with the Scriptures, do you run to some person to listen to what they say about it? Now, it's a blessing that if you have somebody to go to, that you have confidence in. But it's greater to be able to turn to the Word of God yourself and to know this is what the Word of God says, and here's where I stand. Now, God has given to the church teachers, and He has given to the church pastors, and He's given to the church evangelists. And they're there for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, and praise God for every one of them. I tell you, I'm glad David's in this area. It saves me telephone money. I called him many a time, and we talked for a little while over the phone on various things, various subjects about the things of God. But you know, it's a blessing to be able to say, I got this myself from the Word of God. So I go back to this application. Am I acquainted with the words of Scripture? I'm so afraid, beloved, that we're living in a day and age when a lot of Christians aren't really reading the Bible and studying the Word as they ought to. The pressures of life are great, and we're so busy. We're so busy today. And we have all the gadgets. We have gadgets you can push in and pull out, push up and push down to do various things for us. And we have less time than ever. Am I acquainted with the words of Holy Scripture? Do I take time out for God? I often remind me of what Dr. Barnhouse and a rule that they had in their home. No Bible, no breakfast. Boy, I like breakfast. But that was a rule in the Barnhouse home. And the children never got out the door. They never got breakfast apart from the Word of God. These things are important, beloved. Now, in our home, when our children were growing up, we didn't have the Bible for breakfast. We had the Bible for supper. You'd call it dinner today. We'd have it in the evening. We found it was far more convenient to have it at night than to have it in the morning. You see, I'm not saying when you should have it. Just have it. Doesn't matter when. Just have it. And unless we discipline ourselves to set time apart for the Word of God. Now, in the morning, we had a ritual at our house, see. We had someone on the piano for a half an hour, practicing. And then we had someone else on the piano for a half an hour, practicing. And that was a whole hour of, you know, it didn't always sound that good. But anyway, that took an hour every morning. So we had our Bible reading at night. You see, beloved, am I acquainted with the words of Scripture? Just a simple question. If I'm going to apply the truth, and I must apply it, I must ask myself that question. Number two. Another question. Do I apply what I read to myself? That's so important. Do I apply what I read to myself? Let me give you just one verse of Scripture. Remember when Brother Tom Taylor was here a little while back? Remember what he spoke on the Sunday morning in the Sunday school? Those of you who attend this Sunday school class in this room. He was on John 13. And what's my favorite verse in John 13? If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. To apply the Word of God to myself.
Very simple question. We're so good at playing ecclesiastical basketball, aren't we? Here comes a basketball, and we just, oh, that belongs to Mrs. Snodgrass over there. That just fits her. And then we pass it the other way. But you know, I got to apply it to myself. I got to apply the Word of God to myself. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. The apostle says here in 1 John, verse 6, the ending of the verse, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. God wants us to be informed believers. If the United States government goes to the pains that they do to detect counterfeit money, how much more important it is for us to be aware of spiritual phonies, spiritual counterfeits, and false doctrine. And the best way to know a counterfeit dollar bill is to know the real one. If we are well acquainted with the real, we'll detect the counterfeit a lot easier. That is the thrust of the New Testament. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray together. God our Father, we bow in thy holy presence. How careful you are to warn us, to instruct us, in order that we're not deceived by the many counterfeits and deceivers that are in the world, but that we would grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, that we be more like Him, and that we not only know truth, but that we practice it ourselves. Teach us, our God, out of thy law, and we'll thank you for all that you do in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.